It's time for JT the Brick.
The main reason why I have the back of the Raider Nation, the main reason why I do this for a living, because of the global disrespect this franchise gets from people who are wrong more than they're right on the radio. The lazy national narrative is the Raiders don't have a quarterback. I mean, really? Yeah, well, the Raiders are one of the worst teams in football. I said, worst teams? They won 8 games.
JT the Brick.
That's why I love you in the Raider Nation. You don't like anything. You're hardcore Raider Nation. You don't like anything until it's proven to you. There are Raider fans in Vegas. There are Raider fans globally. There are season ticket holders. Okay? There's a whole bunch of different Raider fans, but we're all one nation. One nation, the Raider Nation. And we're all on the same page. We want to win. That is another unbelievable article on anti-Raider propaganda. The roster's better than last year.
And now,
Big Boy Radio.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate. JT in studio today with Bobby. The aftermath of the win yesterday, Sunday, against Cleveland, beating the Browns. How was that? Man, that was an ugly win, man. That was ugly, 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 nasty. Take the win and move forward. Remember I said winner, move forward, loser, go home. Thank God we broke out the must-win game and they won. Bobby, I don't know what Monday would have looked like here. Deshaun Watson on that final drive. If he doesn't go backwards at the end, they win. I don't know. I don't call in sick. I don't miss shows. I don't put up a white flag, but this would have been a rough one, and it's not because I ran out the dog pound at Allegiant Stadium. One of the highlights of my 27-year career, being in the end zone to start the game with under 5 minutes to go, saying we have to send the dog pound back home to Cleveland with a loss. I've never heard a crowd boo me as loud as they booed me. Oh, it was special. We got to find a way. I got to get the good version of that. Silver and Black Productions has got to get me the version of that. A lot of people saw it. Craig in promotion said, man, that was unbelievable. It was pretty cool. I'm sitting there on the sidelines, and they say, we're going to go to Eric, then we're going to go to you. What are you going to say? I'm going to say, Jacoby Myers, ding. I'm going to say, get the running game going, bing, bing. And then I paused and said, and the key is sending the dog bound back to Cleveland with the loss. I heard 30,000 of their fans or 25,000 scream at me. But the problem was I had to go to my seats through the concourse. There's not like a secret bat elevator that takes me to the Twitch Club to 132. So I had to walk the concourse and good. No one saw me. No one recognizes me. Fine by me. AM radio host. It's a fun little way to have a life here. Got to my seat and they came out and went up 10-0. I said, come on, man. We got the ball 1 minute in the whole quarter. They got it like 11 minutes. I go, no, no, no. It can't happen. And they came back and won the game. Double-digit deficit. 2 games this year that they won, they trailed by double digits, and they came back and won. So today is the aftermath. We're going to celebrate the victory on Monday. Okay, we got Harry Ruiz, the Latino voice of the Raiders, bottom of the hour. Sam Munson from the 33rd team at the top of the hour. He goes around the league. A lot of news around the league today. And we want to hear from Raider fans, most importantly, who went to the game, who can tell a story other than me telling stories because I don't have 6 co-hosts. I can only tell you my stories, and I got a clock in my head. Even though you think I talk a little bit too much about me from time to time, there's a clock in my head. It goes off pretty quickly, and I move on to you, and I focus on you and your experience. So from your tailgate experience to your section to your tickets, who was there, who wasn't there, who'd you bump into, who'd you see, all of that. We like to do that here and hear from fans. And to talk and celebrate the victory here. And that's the focus of my monologue brought to you by Golden Entertainment. So my weekend started off Friday night. I kicked off the ALS Gala Food is Art at the Stratosphere Pool. Unfortunately, I had to leave early because I had to be at the Biletnikoff's event, which was across the street at the Westgate. So I did about 20, 25 minutes there. Food is Art. Whole bunch of unbelievable chefs raising money to try to stop ALS and at least help the people who are diagnosed with this horrible disease. And that was encouraging to be out there. Very inspiring when I can help in any way. The only way I can help in town really is either my wallet or donating my time to MC some events. And I like doing that. I like doing that a lot. That's the least I could do here. Then I flew over or took a taxi from the Strat, over to the Westgate, and I went to the Biletnikoff event with Jim Plunkett, Mike Haynes, George Atkinson, That was fun. That was a unique event. Michael Shapiro performed, Reckless in Vegas, one of my favorite groups in town. So we had a good Friday night, went to an after hours at my buddy's backyard pool that got a little loose, a little late. Did that for a little bit. And then, Bobby, a round of applause from me, or at least down the road. It was the first Saturday night I stayed in arguably 2 years. I mean, I looked at my wife and said, no. And we're getting calls to go to the Eagles, calls to do that. I said, no, you got to stay in tonight. Big game tomorrow. Can't go out again. So we stayed in Saturday night and got up Sunday and tailgated early. Went to the Stalwarts, great tailgate in the Elot. Walked by Masquerade, saw what they were doing. Saw some Black Hole action. Went up to the Torch, did the pregame show. We had Rich Gannon, who joined us live in front of a big crowd. That was cool. Had a lot of cool. Then we went on the field, and I acted like a lunatic telling and predicting the Dog Pound would lose in front of 60,000. Who else did that? That was me. I'm the guy who did that. I said, send the Dog Pound home with a loss. I did it, and we did it. Now, I'm not going to say that every week, every home game. You know, the next home game is the terrible towels of Pittsburgh. You want to talk about a fan base who's going to show up. Those terrible towels and those black jerseys and the yellow. Man, that's not a good look there. But I think we're going to beat the Steelers. I really do. I'm not in the prediction business. But the Raiders have to go on a run now. They have to stack some wins. Bo Nix threw for 60 yards total and beat Aaron Rodgers. That was my whole show last night. I had a late night, did the 8 to 11 show. Woo! That was rough getting up this morning. And the Jets lost, and that's the biggest story in the NFL by far. Raiders won on a scale of 1 to 10. That's like a 1 for the rest of the NFL. They don't even pay attention to us. We got the same record as the Ravens. We got a better record than the Bengals, and they still don't talk about us. They don't even acknowledge us in the Raider Nation. They don't even acknowledge us. Okay. But the Dog Pound, they acknowledge. And they lost the game. Man, they are a flawed team. Deshaun Watson is a mess. That first drive, he was 10 of 10 for a touchdown. And everybody looked around, at least in my section, were like, oh boy, this is not going to be good today. Deshaun Watson is completely locked in. But down 10-0, the Raiders grinded it out, found a way to tie the game, take the lead. Fortunately, Cleveland missed an extra point, which really was the decisive factor of the game, because Cleveland could have kicked multiple field goals to tie the game and go to overtime, but they were down 4 instead of 3. That's why that 3 number in gambling is so important. When a team's minus 3, not 3.5 or 4, it's a big deal, and we saw that there. So overall, my day, I've been doing this for so long, it was another one of those days where you couldn't enjoy the game until the final 5 seconds. Like, not enjoyable, other than seeing friends and family and, you know, War performing, right? War, a legendary band at halftime. But the game keeps me tight, as my son would say. Dad, you're tight. Yeah, I am tight. Paying a lot of money for these tickets. You know, I'm working the game. I'm working. I got to figure out a way, and we got to win this game. And they end up winning. I go on the post-game show. Everybody's happy and everybody's good here now. And I told you, I spent all last week telling you a must-win game because I really don't believe. And look, the Denver game is not a must-win, and we're not back in must-win. I'm not going to break out the must-win all the time. If you've been watching me for 10 years or 20 years, whatever it is, I don't sit here often and say must-win because if you start doing that, then it's a crutch. It's a crutch, and I have to do it every game, and you tune out and say, oh, he's full of it. He's saying must-win every week. I won't do that. But that was a rare must-win. There was no way the Raiders survived the season if they lose that game to Deshaun Watson after Andy Dalton. No chance. Season on the brink. Period. Rumors running wild about specific players. Who's happy? Who's not? Why did coach say business decisions or not? Had to win the game. I went there. I backed it up on the field in front of the Browns fans, and the Raiders won the game. So you will not be hearing must win unless the Raiders are in a situation where it's going south, and I hope that doesn't happen anytime soon, and they're able to go there, and they have to win a game, and the season's on the line. But the way the league is such a mess, I told you getting to 2-2 was so important because now the Raiders can breathe. So I was in the building at about 7:30 this morning, walked around a little bit, saw some people, and everybody's now decompressing. The players got off. They got a victory Monday. So they have, you know, if they want to get treatment or a water workout or whatever they're going to do, they come in. But they got the day off. They get Tuesday off as their mandatory day off. And then they can kind of get away, I think, from football. It's not a bye week, and they're not going to completely get away from it. But they're going to have an opportunity to at least decompress and enjoy themselves and be 2-2 like the Ravens, like the Cowboys, like a lot of other teams, and go, we're good. We're not great. We're not great, but we're good. All right, Bobby, would you like to start with glasses half full or empty? Let's go full. Okay, the glasses half full. They got the running game going. Over 150 yards. Madison and Zeus. Zeus had a big fumble late in the game. A disastrous fumble. Alexander Madison played well. He did. They scored two touchdowns for the first time in the history of the franchise, dating back to 1960. It's the first time two wide receivers scored running touchdowns ever. We had Fred Biletnikoff, Cliff Branch, Tim Brown, Jerry Rice. Has never happened before. Never happened before. So when you look at the play of DJ Turner, and you look at the play, and I think really good play, when you look at guys who can make plays like Trey Tucker, that's a positive. Brock dropped the ball. He's going to have a drop here or there. Dropped the ball early, but he was playing really hard. I also thought glasses half filled. Charles Snowden. I should have 9 lines on hold today with people calling in on Snowden and his ability to play high. He played great. On the last series, he had a deflected pass, which is all I asked for. Oh, my God, that's all I asked for. You're not going to get to the quarterback. None of you seem to be able to get to the quarterback other than Max. So if you can't get to the quarterback, put your hands up. Put your hands up. Put your hands up. He did and knocked it down, which was great. Then he ends the game by getting a Watson. Christian Wilkins played great. Adam Butler might have had the best game. So we found our interior. Butler and Wilkins are beasts. I love the way they play. So those are glasses half full. Trayvon Merrick got an interception. I see Chris on hold. We'll get to him in a moment. Chris thinks no one can turn the ball over, and he's been right for 10 years on this team. So he caught a ball that was deflected right to him. And overall, you know, I was okay. Now, glasses half empty. We don't make any plays on third down in the passing game. We can't pick up a first down unless it's a bleeping miracle and the sky opens at Allegiant Stadium and once in a while we hit a guy wide open. We cannot pick up 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4. It's a heart attack every time. Every time this team makes a play on second down, they trip up by the turf monster or they don't break a tackle and they fall a yard short of the first down, and oh my God, it's third down again. And the paranoia creeps in from the 400 section to the field. We got to run a play. We got to run a play on 3rd and 3, and we just can't do it. We cannot run a short yardage third down passing play to save our bleeping life. Can't do it. I don't know why. Luke Getsy, Bowers, Devontae, Michael Mayer when he's there. Everybody, we just can't run a third down play. I've been giving you the play. Roll the pocket out. Throw a little pitch and catch, a little lob ball, 2 yards. We can't do it. So we just punt all the time, and thank God we got A.J. Cole. I forgot him. Oh, my God. I said this today on the TV show. I never talk to a player before a game. Never. Like when players are warming up, Shane Leckler and me had a really good friendship. With Shane would come over to me, give him a high five. I've done it with Max if he sees me, but I don't go up to Max pregame. But I did go up to A.J. Cole, who was on the bench. And I said, man, you got a Coffin's Corner for me? And he smiled. And he had a Coffin's Corner punt, which was the best punt of the year for him. And he was fantastic. So the glasses half empty part is I could be spending Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week talking about a quarterback change. This quarterback hasn't done it. He has not done it. Period. He's had every opportunity to do it. I want to celebrate the victory today. He hasn't done it. I can't sugarcoat it anymore. I like him. I want him to play well. Probably don't bench him after a win. What do we do? I mean, you could bench him today. He's not getting the job done, but he won the game. So that's a big topic for me later in the week. But we got to celebrate the victory today. So my new theory with the Raiders, and I don't recall saying this in a while before we get to your calls, from here on out, you go to the hot hands. put that on a T-shirt and someone print it for me with the Raider logo. From now on, Alexander Mattison, you're hotter than Zamir, you play. Quarterback, you're not getting it done, we go to Aiden. Wide receiver, you're not 100%, you can't play, we go to the hot hand. Who's the hot hand? Trey Tucker. He's our new hot hand. That's it. We're going now. Charles Snowden, you'd like to stay on the field? Hey, Tyree Wilson, come in my office, please. I want to show you a look at Tyree played really well, according to Pro Football Focus. So I got to look at the tape a little bit more. From the rest of the season, if the Raiders want to make the playoffs and win some football games, I'm talking 8, 9, or 10, you have now got to go to the hot hand. Who's ever playing better plays the next game. Whoever doesn't play well goes to the bench or they get limited snaps. Can't figure this out anymore. Can't. We're running out of time here. But we're not really. 2-2. So I'm begging for 2-2. I was literally on my knees begging for 2-2. So I got to enjoy the 2-2, man. Come on. Give me a break. I mean, I've been sitting here all week saying get to 2-2 so we can breathe. And I'm already losing myself in this monologue. I'm already off the reservation here. So we go with the hot hand. Who's ever hot and playing well, better than the next guy at the same position. You're down, he's up. He's going to play until he screws up, and then you get in again. We got to go with the hot hand here. We got to get this offense going because the defense is playing their ass off. Defense is playing their ass off, and they didn't have Divine Diablo, Marcus Epps, and Max Crosby. They didn't have any of those guys, and they were able to win the game. And if you are a reserve linebacker and you come in and you whiff on a guy behind the line of scrimmage, we got to figure out what we're going to do with you two. You can figure out who I'm talking about. And if you're going to get benched for the first quarter because you were the guy the coach was talking about when it comes to business decisions, better not do that again. And if you're capable of playing and you're available physically to play football for the Las Vegas Raiders, you need to suit up and play for the Las Vegas Raiders, period. Because we need you. Got everybody hurt. You got to play. So that's where we stand today. That's the monologue brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. That's my go-to vodka. Had a couple of Tito's over the weekend. Tito's and soda's my way to go with a lime. The guy over at the game said, do you want me to squeeze your lime? I said, no, don't touch my lime. I don't need any fruit. I'm good. I mean, I'm good. Give me my Tito's, and we appreciate them being the proud partner of the show. The voice of reason, my leadoff hitter, Chris in West Oakland, begins the show on a Monday.
Hey, JT. You know, we'll talk about the quarterback situation, what needs to be done going forward. Which I'm with you. Enjoy being 2-2. What I saw yesterday, take it half empty, half full, however you want. I think it's the Raider recipe to win games. They played solid defense. Pierce kept the guys together when they got down 10-0 because that game could have gone sideways quick, and it didn't. They came right back, got right back into the game. Got to give Coach Pierce credit for that. But I think their recipe, we've been talking about this too long. I just don't believe this is a team that's going to go out and consistently score 28 or 30 points. We're going to have to win games like we won yesterday, win it ugly. And what did we do? Other than White's fumble, we played pretty much mistake-free, turnover-free football, other than that one play. We sat back. We let A.J. Cole change field position. He was awesome yesterday. We let the defense go out and control the game after it was 10-0. The only touchdown they gave up was a scoop and score. It wasn't by the defense. I just think they sat back. Cleveland's best plays, they had a touchdown call back. Trayvon Merrick, yes, interception. On maybe the best ball Deshaun Watson threw all day, right between Amari Cooper's numbers and his Raider fans, we've seen that before, popped right into Merrick's fans, cost him at least 3 points. Got a touchdown call back, cost him 7 points. A 3rd and 10 roughing the passer, gave the Raiders another touchdown. Don't make mistakes. Play turnover-free, mistake-free football. Let your defense go out, especially in games like this. Now, when we play the Chiefs, when we play the better teams, yeah, the offense is going to have to do a little bit better. But with the teams we got coming up on the schedule, I believe the recipe is there. Play turnover-free football. Don't make mistakes. Let the other team beat themselves. Because I just don't know, JT. We've been talking about it too long. Minshew, O'Connell, I don't care who it is at quarterback. I just don't believe we're going to see a high-flying offense that's going to go out and control games. And until they figure it out, or if they don't, do what you did yesterday. Hang tough. Pierce, rally the troops, come to play every week. Carolina, I'm going to give Pierce a break on one thing. You know, since he's been here last year, that's the only game you can say, hey, the Raiders didn't come out ready to play. they didn't. I won't say they didn't come out ready to play yesterday, but you know, because Cleveland went right down the field. But again, after two possessions, the Raider defense locked down, hung tough, and hung an ugly W on the board, which is what this team is going to have to do, because if they want to approach those 8 or 9 or 10 wins they do, it's going to have to be a whole lot of games like this. I just don't believe we're capable of beating teams 34-31, 20-16. Oh, and let's not, maybe the biggest play of the game, I forgot, a missed extra point, or else we're in overtime yesterday, or who knows what's talking about. So enjoy the win, 2-2. And, oh, one final thing, JT, we've been trying to touch base. I couldn't do it on Thursday. I owe you an Oakland A's phone call about that piece of human debris, John Fisher. I know you'll allow me to get that done. I will at some point this week in between talking about the Raiders Monday and Friday. Thank you, my friend. 2-2. I had a happy stogie and a glass of Crown Royal with my son Zach last night. And let's go take care of business in Denver. Thank you, my friend. Talk to you later.
You got it. We got an unbelievable baseball game going on. Mets in Atlanta tied at 3. If they split the doubleheader, as he mentioned the A's, if the Mets Braves split the doubleheader, they both go to the playoffs. So whoever wins game one does not have to win game two. You get this? Normally, whenever I watch a doubleheader, it's a split. So if the Mets or the Braves win game one, if they sweep, the other team is eliminated. So if the Mets sweep Atlanta or Atlanta sweeps the Mets, the team that gets swept is eliminated and the Diamondbacks get in. So there's a lot happening right now. This is a big day in sports. Huge day in sports. I'll keep an eye on it with everybody. That game's in the top of the eighth. A lot of injuries around the NFL. As Chris said, you got to win ugly. I don't want to do ugly football all year long. I tell Bobby that. I don't want this offense to be 4 of 13 on third down. There's an offensive coordinator and an offensive line coach and receivers coaches. The offense has to improve. They're not good, because they can't do anything consistently. They never start the game off ready. They never start the game off with the lead. They're always trailing, and the offense is slow to get going. How much longer are we going to have to wait for this? Where's the 14 points in the first quarter? The deferring, that's another big thing. I got in my seat, and my buddy looked at me, Joe, and said, "We're deferring kickoffs? We're going to give them the ball to get the crowd in the game?" And they do get the crowd in the game because they go the length of the field? I don't know. I wouldn't defer anymore. I'd take the ball first. It's not like we're Andy Reid and every game we're getting a double dip, a score here and there. But that's a coach. I respect this head coach. This head coach has got a lot of other head coaches working on this roster. And they make up their mind. They make up their mind. But the offense, as much as I want to celebrate the victory, I can't believe how stagnant the passing game is on third and short. Usually, every year, I complain about something. For years, it was what? The middle of the field on defense. Oh, my God, middle of the field's wide open. All right, what do I normally complain about? Pace of play. Play faster. Stop huddling when you're down. Just play faster. This year, all I'm complaining about is one thing, more than anybody in Raider Nation. You can't pick up a 3rd and 3 with a passing game. It's the easiest route, the easiest pass to throw, and you have a mobile quarterback who can get out of the pocket, and you just can't do it. Can't do it. So I say go to Henderson, and on Monday, well, they got off on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, run the plays in Henderson that you're going to run on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium, and just work on third down. Just work on easy third down routes to Michael Mayer when he's available and Brock Bowers. Just 5-yard button hooks. You ever play schoolyard football in the street on the concrete? Now, I'm not talking about on the grass, on the concrete. Growing up as a kid, you play in the street. You needed a first down. You just went to the car. You stopped and turned around. It was a button hook. The ball hit you, and you got another first down. We don't even run button hooks here. I mean, this is not elaborate stuff. We're talking about 3rd and 3, sprint right, toss it to Brock Bowers. And how is Brock Bowers not getting in on every single 3rd and 3 after what he did at Georgia? I mean, at Georgia, he gave you a YouTube channel of 3rd and 3 where he took it to 30 yards for a touchdown. That's something that's going to get cleaned up. I'm very positive they're going to clean that up. Here's Vince in North Las Vegas. Hello, Vince.
JT, what's going on?
What's up?
I actually wanted to call you yesterday after the game. Mm-hmm. I heard you said Gardner Minshew needs to play better. The man is. I'm calling you today to tell him. Hey, can we all ease up on Gardner Minshew?
Gardner Minshew's got to play better. He's got to hit open guys. He can't overthrow guys who are wide open, and he's got to pick up third down with his legs or passing. No, we're not going to give Gardner Minshew a break. He's a great guy. We love him. He's got to play better football if he wants to keep his job.
JT, he had no turnovers. 73 passer rating. Yeah, the percentage he missed. I think it was Turner or Tucker on that deep ball. But the man can play football. Let's be real here. He didn't have his best receiver on the field, and he managed the game. He did what he was supposed to do. If anything, I think up to 3.5 quarters, Minshew was actually having a decent game. When we scored, when we tied the game, we had 20 unanswered points. Give the man a break. When it came to crunch time, we could put the blame. You want to point the blame on somebody? Put it on Luke Getsy. The man had confidence in Minshew in 3.5 quarters, but yeah, he's calling some BS. You know what I'm saying?
Gardner Minshew, hold on. Hold on, Vince. I like your call. Gardner Minshew completed 14 total passes for 130 yards, no touchdowns, and you're calling my flagship radio show to tell me he had a good game? What the hell are you watching?
I didn't say he had a good game. I said he had a decent game. I'm not saying he put up Mahomes' numbers, but he got the job done and he managed the game. He had no turnovers, none. And if you ask me something like this, when he had, for instance, Luke Getsy put enough faith in him for 3.5 quarters. That third, I think it was the third quarter when he had that, when he got out the pocket and he hit that pass to Jacoby in that tight window. That tells you what we got in the quarterback. He believes in himself to make a play like that. But in crunch time, Luke Getsy wants to call these horrible. We were going 3 and out. I can't put that on Minshew. That was horrible play call.
Let me ask you this. Game on the line. Last drive for the Raiders, where they have an opportunity, 1st and 10 at the Las Vegas 20. Zamir White, left tackle, 5-yard loss. Next play, Minshew, incomplete to Jacoby Myers, 3rd and 15. Minshew short to Trey Tucker, no gain, punt. With the game on the line where Cleveland can win the game, we went -5 yards with the game on the line and gave him a chance to win the game.
Understood, JT. I'm just saying. I think us as Raider Nation, we need to lighten up a bit. You put the blame on Minshew.
You're right.
I put the blame on
Getsy. You're right. You know something? You're in North Las Vegas. Hold on. Get on hold. I'm giving you a $50 Grimaldi gift card. $50 Grimaldi gift card. That was an excellent phone call. He came at me hard. We need more of that. No kiss-ass radio around here. And he said, take it easy, man. We're winning the game. Something I've been trying to say. I'm supposed to be enjoying this. I'm already popping a neck vein here, talking about Minshew not getting the job done. So, yes, we are brought to you by Grimaldi's, the best pizza I ever had. Also, my boys came in from Vancouver, and they went to Grimaldi's and had an unbelievable meal and said it was the best pizza they ever had. Thanks to Grimaldi's, we have $50 gift cards we give away. I guess to callers who challenge me or bring some energy to the show. Appreciate that. Harry Ruiz, the Latino voice of the Raiders, next.
Minshew out of the gun. He sends Bowers in motion to the right. 3rd and goal. Shotgun snap, hand off to White. They run a reverse to the near side. Tucker, he's got space at the 5. Finds the corner. Touchdown, Raiders! Trey Tucker on the reverse to the left side. Beat the Browns to the corner. And the Raiders cap off a drive with a 3-yard touchdown. And they're back in it, baby.
Big play there. Jason Horowitz on the call. JT back with you in studio today. A lot to cover today coming off the Raiders' victory. We call the show Win or Lose the Aftermath of what's happening. We are brought to you by Modelo, the fighting spirit of Modelo, the number one beer in America. We thank Modelo, Steve Gomez, his entire team for putting us in a position to win, and the Raiders do. Harry Ruiz, the Latino voice of not only the Raiders, but USC football. So, Harry, first as a friend, how are you handling these double dips? 2 games over a weekend, because you were in there late with me last night, man. I was doing the post game, and me and you were the last two. You were even there after I left. What's going on with you?
Yeah, man, it's been interesting. It's been fun. Last week was a little bit tough for having to go all the way to Michigan, then go back to L.A. with the Trojans on the charter flight, and then fly back home and making it to Vegas at 7 in the morning and then heading over to Allegiant. But this week was a little bit easier. The kickoff in L.A. at the Coliseum was 12:30, so made it back home by 11 p.m. and got a good night's rest before the win yesterday against the Browns. So it's been fun. It's been cool. And, I mean, that's the dream, man. That's the dream, calling football games.
You got it. You're having a great life calling college with the big brand USC and the big brand the Raiders. What was your big picture analysis of the game? Raiders were down 10, came back. Offense is still not consistent, not truly clicking, but the running game did get going.
I mean, you saw a resilient football team, JT. Despite going down 10 to nothing, they came back in that second quarter. And, man, I love that drive where they kicked off the second quarter where they had 11 plays. 9 of them were runs. Four different players had carries in that drive, and Trey Tucker was able to get his first rushing touchdown of the season. You got a 3-and-out defensively. You got the ball back. You hit a field goal, and you tie the game. You were able to hold on to that and go into halftime. And I heard you talking about deferring on the kick, but at the end of the day in the NFL, that seems to be the way that a lot of people want to go, where you receive the kickoff in the second half, and it worked for the Raiders. They ended up getting points. Another great defensive stop with the interception by Merrick. You got a touchdown. And at the end of the day, those were the points that ended up marking the difference in the scoreboard. But I need this offense to be a little bit more consistent. I love that the run game was able to work, but at least Gardner Minshew didn't lose the ball. No interceptions, no fumbles, and I think that ended up being the difference in this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think playing turnover-free football and limited penalties is the strength of an Antonio Pierce team. Play a sharp game, be highly emotional, and go out there and do your job and don't make a lot of mistakes. I was really excited to see Jackson Powers Johnson. He had an offsides and a holding call. That's going to happen. He's a young player playing in the second home game. But overall, I thought he played very well, truly emotional, a nice young leader on this team.
One of the best rookies out there this in week number 4 when it comes to the offensive linemen, and that's what you want from him. And, I mean, he had all the pressure in the world on him with it being his first start. Same thing goes with DJ Glaze. And at the end of the day, the Raiders had their best pass protection game when it comes to only allowing 2 sacks in this game, both by the NFL Defensive Player of the Year in 2023, Myles Garrett. I'll take that when it comes to a defensive line from the Browns to just limit them to 2 sacks. And Jackson Powers Johnson, he's only going to keep growing from here. And the best part of him is his attitude. You look at that guy and you see him and you say, that's a Raider right there. That's a guy that he loves this team, loves this opportunity, and he's going to run with it, man. And he's going to tell you that he's happy to be there and that he's excited to be there, not just because that's what everybody says wherever there's at. But you actually, with him, you feel it, that he's happy to be here. And that's something that's only going to keep carrying on in his time with the Silver and Black.
Let me jump in and also ask you about this running game here. As you're calling the game and you finally saw something happen where Madison was running. I talked to Eric Allen today. We had Rich Gannon on, and he said, Zeus is a downhill hill runner. When he hits the holes, he can run downhill, which is great. He missed out on a 90-plus yard touchdown run. Last line of defense got him. But Madison seems to be seeing the holes a little bit clearer and running with more vision and violence. How do you break up these two running backs or give one guy more touches than the other? I'm leaning towards Madison going forward. How do you see it?
I think that would be a good option, especially after what happened with Zamir and the fumble. You don't want him to have that in his mind, and you got to break it up a little bit depending on the situation. But Zamir, he's the guy that you look at him, you look at his speed, and he's more of a north-to-south guy. And Madison, you trust him to go a little bit east-west and finding the holes, having that little bit of patience, and then just blowing right through it and getting his touches. I was glad to see that we finally had a carry of over 12 yards in a game after they didn't in the first 3 games. Madison had his for 24. Zamir had his for 17. And heck, Brock Bowers, he got his carry. He got a first down with a 12-yard run. So you're looking at this team doing a better job when it comes to that, but they also have to have that consistency with the offensive line, that trust where you got the guys knowing everybody being on the same page and knowing where everybody's going. So it all has to start in the line of scrimmage. The offensive line, they did their best job so far this season.
Harry Ruiz is our guest. So, Harry, I want to use our time that we have left to talk about Denver. The fact that the Denver Broncos won a game with 60 yards passing against Aaron Rodgers on the road – is incredible to me. They should have been buried. And Aaron Rodgers, they had 13 penalties in that game, and the Jets are imploding because the coach and the quarterback aren't on the same page with cadence and a lot of other important issues there. I think Denver's going to be highly inspired to stop the 8-game streak the Raiders have against them. Raiders are going to have to play much better football if they're going to get out of Denver with a win.
I was keeping my eye on that score, JT, because how everything was going down, I was like, okay, obviously you want the Broncos to lose. You always want any divisional rival to lose, but I was like, if the Broncos win, if the Raiders win and the Chiefs win, it's going to be the Chiefs undefeated and everybody else 2-2, and that's exactly what ended up happening. But I was like, how is this game so low scoring right now? I was like, Aaron Rodgers has a drive in him to go and get a touchdown and get the win for the Jets, and he didn't. I mean, zero touchdowns for Aaron Rodgers in the game yesterday, and I mean, the Jets got to be worrying right now with the way they're playing, and the Broncos are motivated. They're on a 2-game win streak. They have their rookie quarterback who didn't shine yesterday, but at the same time, he didn't lose the game for his team. He was turnover free as well, so you want to be able to do that as a rookie. The Raiders, their defense, they got to go out there in Denver, man. And Christian Wilkins, he, in my opinion, had his best game as a Raider so far in this young season. Go out there, be a menace. And the guys, the rest of the guys on that D-line, whoever it is, they got to come out motivated and show what they got, just like they did on Sunday against the Browns.
So, Harry, when you look at this team and the offense, my big hot button the rest of the week is third down passing game's got to get better. No more 4 first downs in a football game. No 4-12, 4-13. They got to stay on the field because no one's going to get the touches. Everybody's happy DJ Turner and Trey scored on jet sweeps and touching the ball. I get that. But the ball's got to go in the end zone a little bit more. And they're not bad when it comes to red zone offense. They're pretty efficient, but they don't get to the red zone enough. How do they keep the short passing game going so they can pick up easy first downs? Every easy first down seems to be a struggle.
Exactly, and at the same time, you look at Brock Bowers. He wasn't targeted much in the game. He only had, what, 2 catches yesterday against the Browns? That's a guy that's going to help you get into that deep territory against whoever you are playing. Look at the game against the Ravens, who had that big catch that got the team into the red zone for the Alexander Mattison touchdown. It was Brock Bowers. The Raiders didn't utilize him much on Sunday. He got 3 targets, 2 catches for 19 yards. He's going to help you get there. I understand that Davante Adams wasn't out there on the field, so there's going to be a little bit more attention on the rest of the guys. But this offensive air game has to become a better and more efficient machine. And the Raiders, you saw a couple of passes where, especially in that first drive, DJ Turner, he was wide open, and he was missed a little bit long. But then you go in the second half, and there were cases where Jacoby Myers was running his route, and then the pass goes behind his back. And same situation with Trey Tucker. The pass doesn't go where the player is. That has to be something that gets the need ironed out so the Raiders can be more efficient on offense. And yes, JT, they're one of the best teams in the red zone, but they've had very limited opportunities inside the opposing 20. And you got to get in there so you can start scoring 7 points every time you get the ball, or most of the times you get the ball.
All right, so what's your schedule look like again? What do you got for USC this Saturday?
Yeah, Friday, we're flying out to Minnesota. So we got USC versus the Golden Gophers, both good teams so far in this season, 3-2 versus 4-1. And then we're going over, I'm coming back to Vegas, calling the game from the studio there in Lotus on Sunday. So
good.
We got USC Saturday and the Raiders on Sunday. Hopefully we go undefeated like we did this week, plus the Dodgers. I need them to get some dubs as well.
Oh, Yankees, Dodgers. I keep an eye on this. Mets, Braves. Mets are playing well. This is going to be a lot of fun. Big day in baseball. Harry, always good to see you. Great to have you on the show. Appreciate you.
Hey, it's been a while, JT, and I always love coming on. You know, you're one of the few guys that whenever you tell me if I can come on, I'll drop anything for you.
Thank you, Harry. Same here. Appreciate you. Harry Ruiz, great job. Got a lot going on now. Appreciate that we can get him on select Mondays here as we continue on and get going. We're brought to you by Virgin Hotels. Virgin Hotels Las Vegas has your entertainment lined up. Wednesday, October 9th, British metal band Architects take over the theater at Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. And Friday, October 11th, some of the best in fighting is Tough Enough 139 will be held at the theater at Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. Tickets for the bouts start at just $50. Now opened is the best Chinese food with the all-new chef. Get this, Chef Sui. He's got this unbelievable experience, a Michelin-rated menu with the freshest ingredients for an incredible dining experience only at Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. How about that? We thank Virgin Hotels Las Vegas, proud partner of our broadcast. Bobby, I got to get all our reads in here, man. We got 18 partners on this show. I'm doubling up today. We are busy. Chinese cuisine. I love it. I love that a lot. I love some great Chinese food, man. We don't have that up in Summerlin. I got to go to Virgin. We don't have great Chinese in Summerlin. What am I missing? I'll just go to Virgin Hotels and get it there.
So it's first and 15. Raiders coming with a blitz. Watson feels it. He steps up into the pocket. Right into the pressure. And he's sacked back at the 25. Isaiah Polamalu with a safety blitz over the left tackle. And the Raiders drop him for a loss of 8.
Great call by Jason Horowitz. How about that call, huh? How about that one? That was great. JT, back with you as we continue on here. Isaiah Polamalu. Look, if some of these guys like Snowden, Isaiah Polamalu, if other guys can step up and play well until some of the starters come back, I mean, this is going to be an important week with Michael Mayer, with the personal blank, whatever the issues there that are none of my business. More people have texted me on Michael Mayer, what's the issue? I have no information. It's personal. That's the way I conduct my life. When I hear personal, no comment. None. And then when Devontae's hamstring feels better, and other guys want to come back and play Max, you know, I could text with Max and talk to Max, but it's an injury. So the Raiders are in control of Max's injury along with Max. So how could Raider fans be on chat groups and text messages and radio shows and podcasts debating injuries you know nothing about? How dare you? And I'm going to use this moment here for a second. I'll say it again. It was pretty juvenile on my part, but during the post-game show, I got some time in between breaks. Just despicable how many Raider fans quit on their team last week. Just despicable. Now, remember, the overall number's small because it's usually the trolls, and not some of them aren't trolls. Some of them are good, but they can't help themselves. You, and I'm talking to you, all have friends in the Raider Nation who claim to be Raider fans. So their profile picture has something to do with the Raiders. A Raider logo, a Raider name. And they trash their team all the time when the going gets tough and they quit. And then they want to come back and then they quit and come back. So I just went after all of them. I just went down my timeline, went into my timeline, you know, and they're saying, the game's over. And I go, wrong. You know, this and that, you're wrong. You quit. Who are the quitters? How are you quitting and claim to be a Raider fan? You can be as upset as you want to be. I don't get involved in how upset you are. Take it out on me. I always say that. But when you quit and you put your name on it online, just gutless and pathetic. And again, I don't know what the number is. I think the number's kind of small. Most of them don't call me because I'd hang up on them, right? None of them come to the torch. They come to the torch for selfies and want to get an autograph from Eric Allen. Who are these cowards that are running around ripping their team in the first quarter saying it's over, I'm done. I'm done. I'm gone. I'm done. Then get lost. No one wants you around. Nobody wants you around when you continue to quit on your team. And that goes for any sport, Bobby, because I got to remind people, everybody thinks that everything in my life is Raiders. It's not. It's not. I'm just telling you, in general, if you're going to quit on your team, do it to yourself. And don't bring your friends down with you, man. God, I hate those people. I really do. They're pathetic, and they're mostly online. And they do it, and they're trolls, and they rip on the coach and the offensive coordinator and the quarterback and blah, 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 and they want to quit when the going gets tough. I know you're upset. We haven't won in 20-plus years. I get it. I've been there for all of it. Behave yourself. Act like an adult, man. It's been crazy lately. Orlando, he's in Connecticut. What's going on?
JT, what's up, my brother? It's a glorious Monday. A couple observations from the game. Adam Butler has got a motor, my friend. He was getting after it. Super proud of the practice squad players. Just really proud of the way they stepped up and played a little bit. You know, long term, I don't expect them to play as much as everyone else does, but I was super proud of the team, the way they responded. A little disappointed with Matherson, you know, a lot of whiffs on those tackles. I thought that was a humongous spot for him to step up and try to take reps away from Diablo. You and I both think, you know, I'm not a fan of Diablo. We've given him enough time, JP.
Yeah, Diablo's tough because I really love his athletic ability, his look, how he's supposed to look playing that position, and he just can't stay healthy. But as long as he's on the roster and he's under the care of the doctors and trainers to get healthy, we got his back. I'd like him to be more available. He's not. I wish Masterson would make more plays when he has an opportunity to play. He whiffed on a big tackle yesterday. I think the running back put his foot in the ground, went the other way. He's got to play better. I think Hobbs plays okay. And then Jack Jones got benched in the first quarter for a business decision, and he came out and played hard. And when the Raiders were down 10-0 and Jack Jones was on the sideline benched, this could have went real sideways for the Raiders if they went down 17-0 and got beat badly, like 24-7, and Jack Jones didn't start the game. Okay, there's a lot of things that needed to happen yesterday to quiet the room down. Quiet the room down, and I believe it did, and I think it should happen. And I think everybody, when the team wins, should celebrate it here. But we can go after it and have fun. We can go after it with each other. And I know a lot of fans are upset and they want to win. They want to win. They want to win. I get it. But act like a fan and support your team. Because I'm not going to tell you to quit the team. This is your team. I would never do that. Never. But I definitely have the right, if you follow me on Twitter and I see your garbage on my timeline of you quitting, make sure I will knock you back directly or in your DMs or right to your face when you're quitting and embarrassing yourself. Hour number two coming up next. Sam Munson will join us from the 33rd team. We'll go around the league. Always a fun time.